So I am convening the ALA-APA Council and calling it to order and beginning with the introductions and announcements. Kindly take your seats, except you're not out of your seats, so just remain in your seats. Good morning, Council, and welcome. The Chair calls the ALA-APA Information Session and Council to order. Two meetings have been combined to fit the new compressed schedule. This meeting will proceed as a council meeting, which will include much of what would have been shared at an information session. Would all councilors please occupy the reserved seats at the front of the room? If there's anyone who's not in one. Okay, at this meeting, unless there are objections, we will follow the rules that were approved at the 2005 annual conference council meeting as identified in APA Council Document Number 3. Just as a reminder, please watch the overhead screen for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. If you want to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, then give your name and indicate if you are a division counselor, a chapter counselor, a counselor at large, or a round table counselor. Motion forms must be completed for all motions. For your convenience, the motion forms are available at each end of your table. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and the seconder, and given to the projectionist before you go to the microphone. This will ensure that the overhead slide of your motion will be ready when your motion is introduced. You will be asked to raise your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. The chair has been advised by the parliamentarian that general consent should only be used for routine and non-controversial decisions, typically of a procedural nature, such as the decision to recess or change the agenda. Use of general consent is not an appropriate way of voting on main motions. Please watch the overhead screen for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Please do not improvise. Our voting record is at your place. You should have a purple card for this morning's meeting. If you must leave before adjournment, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood. It is ALA's policy to employ a professional parliamentarian at midwinter meetings and annual conferences. It is now my pleasure to introduce ALA's parliamentarian for the ALA-APA meeting, council session, Ellie Mina. Also on the platform today are Molly Raphael, ALA-APA President-elect, Joanne Kemp, Director of the Office of ALA Governance, and Keith Michael Fields, ALA-APA Executive Director and the Secretary to its Council. I would also like to reintroduce Lois Ann Gregory Wood, Council Secretariat. Let's give everybody so far a hand. Danielle Alderson and Alicia Bastel, our projectionist, and note, this meeting is being captioned for the hearing impaired, and our captionist is Kathy Cortopassi. If you wish to take advantage of the service, please be seated where you can see the screens. And if there are no further objections, the chair declares the rules governing the meeting adopted as identified in APA Council Document Number 3 adopted. I see no objections. A quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors, and I have been advised that we are well over 75 councilors present, and therefore we have a quorum. Thank you. The agenda, APA Council Document Number 1.1, and all other documents are available at the pickup station in this room. Under the 24-hour rule, we have received the following. We have no resolutions. No resolutions. Well, we haven't received anything. Okay. Are there any objections to the agenda? Seeing no objections, the chair declares the agenda adopted. You were emailed the minutes of the 2011 ALA Midwinter Meeting, APA Council Document Number 2.1. Copies are also available at the documents pickup table in this room. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Seeing no corrections, we adopt the ALA-APA Council minutes from the 2011 ALA Midwinter Meeting. Thank you. First on our agenda is a report from the ALA-APA Executive Director, and I now call upon Keith Michael Fields to present his report.
Thank you, Roberta. I do not have a written report. I really just have two announcements. The first is that many of you may be aware that Jennifer Grady is going to be leaving ALA to pursue a new life in Nashville. Jennifer, where are you? Jennifer, wave your hand. Jennifer. I would have to say, if I may have a point of personal privilege, that Jennifer came to ALA to start the APA, and I would have to say that it would be certainly not being honest to say that there hadn't been a few sort of white-knuckle moments over the course of the last couple of years. I would have to say that the entrepreneurship, the spirit, the collegiality, and the leadership that Jennifer has displayed in taking this organization from something that was on paper into something that has developed two vibrant and growing certification programs that are going to make a difference out there in libraries, and to develop the collaborative relationships with other ALA units, to create a newsletter which is packed with great information, and to really work with committees that have, I think, helped advance the association's focus on the status of all library workers and on the status of the profession has just been fantastic. It's a very difficult thing to do on your own. She has done it single-handedly, and she has done it fantastically. Thank you, Jennifer, very, very much. And because no one truly leaves ALA ever, Jennifer will, in fact, continue to be working remotely from Nashville to continue to work with the support staff and the public library certification programs. The day-to-day and overall responsibility for the direction of the APA at this point is being taken over by the eminently capable Laurel Swader, who is also director of the Office of Human Resource Development and Recruitment at ALA, and the full-time staff member who is currently working for the APA will then be working in conjunction with Laurel to make sure that all of the other activities and functions of the APA are continued going forward for those of you that are interested in how we're going to handle that. So that concludes my report.
Are there any questions for Keith? Seeing no one at the microphone. Microphone number six.
Mary Biblow, Counselor at Large. This is a question to Keith.
Yeah.
I know it, and it's in relation to APA. I understand that Jennifer is leaving ALA, but are you at liberty to say exactly the reasons why? Is it personal? Solely personal, or is it due to cutbacks that we are having economic questions, cutbacks in staff?
I'm not at liberty to discuss Jennifer's reasons for going, but it's because Jennifer would like to do that, and it's not at all because of cutbacks.
It's not at all?
Not at all, no.
It has no relationship to do with the cutbacks and stuff?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
No, the APA is thriving and is doing very well financially. I think that the APA will be paying back its loan in the not-too-distant future, and then that money which is now going into the loan will then be used to enrich and strengthen the program. So I think we're over the hump on this one, and we're on the it's a bright future ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's another part to this question. You're going to have a person by the name of Mr. Swader?
No, Laurel Swader.
He's going to be managing?
She.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, no, no.
They're going to be acting as the director of APA.
Right.
And you're going to have a part-time staff. Now, how many other offices in AOA have part-time directors and staff, you know, managing the offices?
Yeah. I guess those of you who don't know Laurel probably don't know her because she's currently running the placement center. HRDR does run recruitment activities for ALA and placement. Laurel coordinates the Emerging Leaders Program and works very closely with the Office of Diversity to actually do diversity recruiting. There are a couple of offices at ALA that have shared staffing, and those would include the Office of Chapter and International Relations, which share a director. Currently, the Office of Diversity in OLOS, Miguel Figueroa is the director of both of those offices, and RUSA and ASCLA, which are the two divisions, share an executive director as well. So those are at least three I can think of right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any further questions for Keith? Seeing no further questions, thank you. And I will now introduce our ALA APA Treasurer, Jim Neal, and direct you to APA Council Document Number 4.2 and Number 4.3.
Good morning, councilors. My job here today is to update you on the status of the fiscal year 2011 APA budget and to get your support and approval for the budgetary ceiling for APA in fiscal year 12. So we'll start with document 4.2, and you can see in this document quickly that through April 30th of this fiscal year, the revenues of the APA are standing at just over $105,000, and you can see in this report the mix of revenue sources. If you turn to the next page, you'll see the corresponding expenses. And if you compare the revenues against the expenses, moving to the final page, you'll see that we do project a net revenue of around $40,000. We were successful last year to apply $10,000 against the loan, and based on these projected numbers for fiscal year 2011, we do anticipate a principal repayment of $25,000, leaving a projected loan balance of $240,000. So this addresses the expectation for the APA budget plan for 2011. I ask you now to turn to document 4.3. This reflects the budget plan for fiscal year 12. When we deal with budgetary ceilings within ALA and within APA, we combine the anticipated revenues, in this case, the unused loan balance, the dollars that are available to APA, and therefore we define the budgetary ceiling. It is the responsibility of council and then the executive board to approve that budgetary ceiling, so we will be taking an action here this morning. The next page gives you a sense of how we view the operating revenues for fiscal year 12. And again, you can see the various categories, particularly the important role that library work life plays in the overall revenue stream of APA. And if you turn the next page, you'll see the expense categories and the comparison of the revenues against expenses shows that we are projecting, moving to the next slide, a net revenue of just short of $65,000 in fiscal year 12. This then takes us to our action item for today. Given that revenue projection of $179,000 and the unused loan balance of $92,000, it is then our responsibility as ALA APA Council to endorse the 2012 budgetary ceiling of $271,988. And therefore, I call upon APA ALA Council to approve that budgetary ceiling.
We have a motion for the approval of the ALA APA fiscal year 2012 budgetary ceiling of $271,988. Is there any discussion? Seeing no one at the microphone, we will proceed with the vote. All those in favor of passing the motion, please raise one of your hands. All of those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion is adopted. Please mark your ballot, ALA APA budgetary ceiling. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Let's thank the guy. Come on. Where's that clapping? Okay. We will now move to the next committee report from the Certified Public Library Administrator Program Certification Review Committee. Yes, it's a mouthful. CPLA-CRC. You were emailed APA Council Document 10, number 10.2, which is also at the distribution table. And I will now call on Ann Abati, committee member, to respond to any questions about this report. Please join us at the microphone, Ann. Are you there? At the back mic? Is that you, Ann, back there? No? You're over there. Okay, thank you. Microphone number two. Is that you, Ann?
Yes, it's me. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ann? Ann, it looks like you're off the hook.
That's what we were hoping.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no one at the microphones, we are going to proceed. We will now move to the next committee report from the Library Support Staff Certification Program Certification Review Committee, LSSC-CRC. You were emailed APA Council Document Number 10.3, which is also at the distribution table. I will call upon Peggy Seiden, Chair of the Committee, to respond to any questions about this report. Peggy, is that you over there at Council?
I'm seven.
Or at Microphone 7?
Yep.
Great. Okay, Peggy's available.
Any questions? I personally wanted to add a word about Jennifer and how wonderful she's been to work with. She really has guided this whole process, and I can't thank her enough, and she will be sorely missed.
I would join you in that. Jennifer, it has been a pleasure to work with you over the years and your ability to be calm in what was surely hosts of trying situations, including at council sessions, is to be commended.
Thank you.
Any further remarks, Peggy? No?
No, that's it. Thank
it appears
you.
We have no questions for Peggy, and so we will proceed. The next committee report will be from the Committee on Salaries and Status of Library Workers, and you were emailed APA Council Document Number 8.1, which is also at the distribution table. I will call upon Ebony Stokes, incoming chair of the committee, to respond to any questions about this report. Are you here with us, Ebony? I see Cheryl moving. No? It appears, Ebony? No, it's you. It's you. You're going to take over in that role, Jennifer. Microphone number 7.
Are there any questions?
I would like to make a request that the remainder of the council sessions be as easy as this one. I doubt that will happen. Thank you, Jennifer. Okay. I now call upon Keith Michael Fields, ALA APA Executive Director and the Secretary to the ALA APA Council for announcements.
I have, no,
I have no further announcements at this point.
This is a very much a non-event here today. Okay. In that case, unless there are any further questions on any matter related to ALA APA, microphone number 5.
Tom Wilding, counselor at APA counselor at large. I noted, and I didn't comment on when Jim was making his report, that the donations for this year were $3,500, but projected to be $6,500 next year. And I would love that to happen. I'm just curious to know whether there's any plan to get it from $3,500 to $6,500, and to plead, to just exhort this council members with all of the things that we're trying to support, including flood damage and tornadoes and hurricanes and whatnot, that this organization clearly has value to this association and needs to be supported. And I would just encourage everybody here to check off APA as one of your donation things when you're making your renewals.
I second that motion. We also, if you've had an opportunity to look at the program, we have a rich array of programs here at this conference that are being sponsored by ALA APA. I believe that we have come to the end of our time and the end of our agenda, and therefore I declare the ALA APA information session and council meeting adjourned. Thank you. Okay, and I just want to remind you how we do in time-wise. Ooh. We've got ourselves probably about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes for a break. We are going to be reconvening for the council session at 10:45 a.m. So see you then. You've got a nice long break. Oh, yes, and please pass your voting tallies to the end of the aisle. Definitely do that. Thank you. Kindly take your seats, and good morning, Council. Welcome. The Chair calls the first meeting of the ALA Council to order. Would all councilors please occupy the reserved seats at the front of the room? If you want to speak at this meeting, please go to a microphone, wait for recognition, and then give your name and indicate if you are a division councilor, a chapter councilor, or a councilor at large, or a roundtable councilor. Motion forms must be completed for all motions. For your convenience, the motion forms are available at the end of each table. Motion forms must be printed legibly, signed by the mover and the seconder, and given to the projectionist before you go to the microphone. This assures that the overhead slide will be available for your motion at the time it is introduced. You will be asked to raise one of your hands for all votes that are not adopted by general consent. Only if the vote seems close will I call for a standing vote. General consent voting will only be used for routine and non-controversial decisions, typically of a procedural nature, such as the decision to recess or change the agenda. Use of general consent is not an appropriate way of voting on main motions. Please watch the overhead screen for the motion description to use on your voting card. You may only use that descriptor. Please do not improvise. Your voting record is at your place. You should have a pink card for this morning's meeting. If you must leave before adjournment, please take your card to Lois Ann Gregory Wood over at the projectionist table in this room. I am going, since we've had introductions already twice, I'm going to go through these very quickly, ask that you please hold your resounding applause. It is my pleasure to reintroduce ALA's parliamentarian Ellie Mina, and he will be available at the resolutions table number 21 in the ALA offices here in this convention center to help with any questions you may have regarding parliamentary procedures. The resolutions table hours are listed in ALA Council Document number 3.1. Also on the platform today are Molly Raphael, ALA President-elect, Joanne Kemp, Director of the Office of ALA Governance, and Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and the Secretary of Council. I would also like to introduce Danielle Alderson and Alicia Bastel, our projectionists, and Lois Ann Gregory Wood, Council Secretariat. This meeting is being captioned for the hearing impaired. Our captionist for the annual conference is Kathy Cortopassi. If you wish to take advantage of this service, please be seated where you can see the screens. Also, we have a reserve table for members of the press. It is to my left near the captionist table. Electrical outlets are available for those of you who wish to plug in your laptops at the tables in this room. For those counselors who would like to have their photograph taken for the council webpage photo gallery, please see Lois Ann over at the projectionist table. We have special guests with us today. If they are in the room, would they please stand as I call their names? Please hold your applause until all have been recognized. The American Library Association is delighted to introduce 2011-2012 ALA President-elect Maureen Sullivan. I knew you were going to do that. Laura Breeden, Program Director for the Public Computing and Broadband Adoption, National Telecommunications and Information Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce. You're back there, okay. Elizabeth Bagley, President-elect of the Georgia Library Association. Elizabeth, where are you? Are you here? Monica Brooks, President of the West Virginia Library Association. There you are, right back there. Terry Buckner, President-elect of the Kentucky Library Association. Yeah, hey, great, great. Nancy Deegan, President-elect of the Arizona Library Association. Leoma Leoma Dunn, President of the Kentucky Library Association. Rita Ennen, President of the North Dakota Library Association. Lucy Holman, President-elect of the Maryland Library Association. Ben Hunter, President of the Idaho Library Association. Aubrey Madler, President-elect of the North Dakota Library Association. Pamina Magasudi, President of the California Library Association. Ron McCaig, President-elect of the Wisconsin Library Association. Sonia Plummer Morgan, President, Maine Library Association, and President of the Association for Rural and Small Libraries. Rhonda Putney, ALA Counselor and President of the Wisconsin Library Association. There she is. Jacqueline Rafferty, ALA Counselor and immediate past President of the Massachusetts Library Association. She's here too. Mike Robinson, President of the Alaska Library Association. Brian Sonita, President of the Washington Library Association. And Stephen Yates, President of the Alabama Library Association. Thank you, all of you, for honoring us by being here at Council today. Okay. Yeah. The quorum for a council meeting is 75 councilors, and we clearly have 75 councilors present, and therefore we have a quorum. The rules for this meeting are in Council Documents Number 5. Written reports should not be read, and when resolutions are presented, only the resolve clauses should be read. The Resolutions Committee is responsible for reviewing all resolutions at least 24 hours before those resolutions are added to the Council agenda. Please be reminded that all resolutions with fiscal implications must go to the Budget Analysis and Review Committee, BARC, before being added to the agenda. Debate shall be limited to 3 minutes for each speaker. No speaker may have the floor twice on the same question until all who wish to speak have spoken. We have timing lights that will indicate how much time you have left. When the green light is on, you have up to 3 minutes. When the yellow light comes on, you have 1 minute remaining. And when the red light comes on, your time is up. Keep in mind, this is not intended to stifle debate, but to ensure fairness. Is there any objection to the proposed rules? Seeing no objection, the chair declares the rules adopted by consent. As a courtesy to others, please turn your cell phones off or to silent prompting. If you need to make or take a call, please leave the council area. Thank you. The resolution committee asks that all resolutions be submitted in a hard copy and emailed to Councillor Larry Romans, chair of the resolutions committee at alaresolutions@ala.org. Larry, where are you seated? Are you here? I don't see Larry right now. This will aid the projectionist in preparing your motion for the overhead screens. The Resolutions Committee is stationed in the ALA office area, table number 21 in the Convention Center, during the times listed in ALA Council Document number 3.1. So, Larry, I was going to have you stand and acknowledge you. Are you here? I do not see him. Okay. Also be reminded that all committee reports and documents must be emailed to Lois Ann Gregory Wood, ALA Council Secretariat, at lgregory@ala.org, no later than 6 p.m. on the day preceding the council meeting at which they are to be discussed. Also, please provide Lois Ann with a contact phone number in case there is a question about your document. The agenda, ALA Council Document 8.5, revised, dated 6/25/11, 8:27 p.m. is available at the council document pickup station in this room. On the agenda, you'll find time allocations to certain issues. These time limits are only estimates to guide me as I run the meeting. Under the 24-hour rule, we have also received the following resolutions to add under new business. Resolution on out-of-school time library programs, ALA Council Document number 48. Do you have any other new business to add at this time? Okay. Microphone number 7.
Since June Pinnell Stevens, Councilor at Large, since I'm not sure when the issue might arise about where the report from the Task Force on Traditional Cultural Expression will fall, perhaps I should add the motion I just gave to Lois Ann to new business.
We do not have scheduled a report from the Traditional Cultural Expressions Task Force this meeting.
I realize, but the issue arose during your report in the information session. And there was an email from Keith, so I'm not sure if it would be from Keith's report or from Roberta's report, or if it falls under new business.
We will add it to new business under Council 2, June.
Under Council 2?
We can do it here. Okay. Keith, do you want to make a comment on this then?
Just for clarification, so we could do, and I don't want to presume upon the parliamentarian's provenance, we could add it as a discussion item here. If you wish to introduce a resolution, then that would go to council too, right? Am I right?
I don't know.
Yeah, because it has to be introduced 24 hours in advance. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other additions? Microphone number 4.
Maggie Farrell, ACRL counselor. I think there might be some confusion, and we can talk to you later. It's not a resolution. It's a motion. So again, we just want to make sure where is the appropriate place. Should it be under the executive director's report in a few minutes, or would you like us to do it at new business?
If you will hold one moment, I'd like to consult on that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Since we had no previous notice of the motion, it would be best for us to consider it tomorrow. Give us some time to get it prepared and then put it on the agenda tomorrow. And I thank you, Maggie. Are there any objections to the agenda? Seeing no objections, the chair declares the agenda adopted. You were emailed the minutes of the 2011 ALA Midwinter Meeting, ALA Council Document number 2.1. Copies are also available at the council documents pickup station in this room. Are there any corrections to be noted? Seeing no corrections, the chair declares the ALA council minutes from 2011's ALA midwinter meeting adopted. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is nominations for the ALA 2011-2012 Council Committee on Committees. I now call upon Molly Raphael, chair of the 2010-2011 ALA Council Committee on Committees, to present the committee's report. Molly.
Thank you. On behalf of the 2010-2011 ALA Committee on Committees, Irene L. Briggs, Trevor A. Dawes, Wei Jiang Chu, and Rhonda K. Putney, and myself, it is my pleasure to submit the nominations for election to the 2011-2012 Committee on Committees, to be chaired by 2011-2012 President-elect Maureen Sullivan. I refer you to ALA Council Document Number 12 and submit the following slate of eight candidates, from which four are to be elected to serve on the 2011-2012 Council Committee on Committees. The four candidates receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to serve a one-year term beginning at the adjournment of the 2011 ALA Conference. Will the candidates please stand when named? Please hold your applause until all candidates have been named. The candidates are Sarah Kelly Johns, Nicholas H. Baron, Valerie P. Bell, Aaron W. Dobbs, Patrick Sweeney, Vicki Lee Schmar, Zhisheng Wen, Peter D. Hepburn.
Thank you, Molly. Let's give the hand of applause. The chair would like to call your attention to bylaw article number 3, section 6C, which provides for nominations from the floor. To be eligible, councillors must have terms which extend at least through 2012. Seconds are not required for floor nominations. Are there any nominations from the floor for the 2011-2012 Committee on Committees? Seeing no further nomination, the chair declares the nominations closed. Ballots will be ready for you to pick up beginning at 5:30 p.m. this afternoon in the ALA office area, table number 22 in this convention center. The ballot box will remain open today until 7 p.m. You must call for your ballot in person. For your convenience, the ballot box will be brought to the council chamber at 9 a.m. on Monday, June 27th, and it will remain in the council chambers until the adjournment of ALA Council 2. The tellers will close the ballot box at 4:30 p.m. on Monday, June 27th, in order to tally the votes. They will present the report to you on Tuesday during our final meeting. I now refer you to ALA Council Document Number 12.1 and again call on President-elect Molly Raphael.
Thank you, President Stevens. The 2010-2011 Council Committee on Committees submits the following Councillor-at-Large and Chapter candidates for election to the 2011-2012 Planning and Budget Assembly. Please note that the first three Chapter Councillors receiving the highest number of votes will be elected to two-year terms and on the Planning and Budget Assembly. The chapter councilor candidates are Alexia Hudson, please stand when I call your name, Cynthia Sazak, Sue Sharif, Sarah F. Jones, Terry G. Kirk, and Suzanne Goodman. Two councillors at large will be elected for a two-year term on the Planning and Budget Assembly. You may sit down. We're going to do the at-large now. So two at-large will be elected to the Planning and Budget Assembly. The councilors at-large candidates are Loida Garcia-Febo, Karen E. Downing, Susan Roman, and Saul Antonio Gomez.
Please give a hand to everyone who has been nominated. Nominations may also be made from the floor, and to be eligible, councilors must have terms which extend at least through 2013. Seconds, again, are not required for floor nominations. Are there any floor nominations for the Planning and Budget Assembly? If there are no nominations, the chair declares the nominations closed. And thank you, Molly, and your committee for a job very well done. As noted in ALA Council Document Number 12.2, the following councilors have volunteered to serve as tellers in the election. They include, and please stand, Leah Briggs, Rhonda Putney, Henry Stewart, and John Mormon Cheer. Let's give them a hand and thank them for volunteering. The chair now refers you to ALA Council Document Number 15.1 and calls upon ALA Executive Director Keith Michael Fields to review the Executive Board actions taken since the 2011 midwinter meeting in San Diego.
You have the written report, 15-1. There really are three major actions. One is, of course, that the budget was, a preliminary 12 budget was approved and sent to BARC for further review and analysis. The second item is an item that Council has dealt with, which is the change in policy 8.51 that will permit for increased revenue to be made available to ALA and ALA units from the endowment, and that was subsequently passed by Council twice, went to the voters on the ballot, and has been approved by the ALA membership. Last of all, there was approval of a change in the skeleton schedule, and that change, which will be implemented next year, will basically take the council information session, which was held this morning, and it will be relocated in the schedule so that it will occur prior to the membership meeting, and that will be implemented, as I said, next year.
Are there any questions for Keith? Okay. Seeing no one at the microphones, we're going to proceed. Thank you, Keith. The chair directs you to ALA Council Document Number 43 and calls upon Annell R. Huggins, Chair of the Chapter Relations Task Force, to present her report. Annell.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to bring this report from the Chapter Relations Task Force. President Roberta Stevens charged the task force to, one, prepare recommendations related directly to the purpose of the Chapter Relations Committee, two, to identify the integral components of ALA and the chapters and how they can help each other, three, to evaluate the Chapter Relations Committee's structure and operations, and to recommend ways to increase the committee's effectiveness and activity. To perform the work of the task force, President Stevens appointed members to represent the various constituencies within ALA, and I wish to express my appreciation for their dedicated work in the development of these recommendations. The task force members were Kay Boyce, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Library Association, Catherine Chamberlain, a student chapter representative, Cynthia Sazak, the New Jersey chapter counselor, Susan D. Matea, past chair, Chapter Relations Committee. Ann Hamilton, past chair, Chapter Relations Committee. Pam Hickson Stevenson, Ohio Chapter Counselor. Holly McCreese, then the Chief Executive Officer of the California Library Association. Elena Rosenfeld, Colorado Chapter Counselor. And myself, Annelle Huggins, Chair of the Chapter Relations Committee and Executive Director of the Tennessee Library Association. Over the course of one conference call, three electronic meetings, one in-person meeting at ALA Midwinter, and numerous emails, the task force brought forth various concerns regarding the relationships between ALA and its various chapters, with chapter defined as state associations, regional associations, and student chapters. In the printed report, you will find a brief description of the task force activities, which included surveying three major groups, student chapters, chapter executives, and chapter counselors. A synthesis of the survey results is also provided. As is to be expected in a large organization like ALA, and the various smaller organizations like the chapters, the major concern of the chapters is, in large letters, communication. Not only between ALA and its chapters, but within ALA and within each of the chapters. The task force chose to address specific recommendations to four groups within ALA and the chapters, in the hope that each group will take ownership of the recommendations and address each during the coming year. The four groups, as shown in the printed report, are ALA Council and Executive Board, Chapter Relations Committee, Chapter Counselors, and Chapter Leadership. I would call the Council's attention to those recommendations at the top of page 4 of the report. I shall leave you to read all of the recommendations, but wish to highlight 4 specific ones. Number 1, student chapters should be accorded representation on the ALA Chapter Relations Committee. Number 2, revise the ALA Chapter Relations Committee's statement of purpose. The proposed revision can be found in Appendix A of the printed report. The task force proposes this revision in the belief that it will provide more positive and proactive guidance or future chapter relations committees. Number 3, call for the evaluation of the FLLAN program on an ongoing basis by the Chapter Relations Committee and the ALA Washington office to ensure the success of that program within all chapters. Number 4, promote and monitor communication between ALA national offices and administrative bodies and state, regional, and student chapters to facilitate the reciprocal flow of ideas and information. Additionally, I would call the Council's attention to the recommendation addressed to the chapter counselors on page 5 of the printed report. The task force believed that each chapter counselor should play a proactive role in promoting communication between ALA and the chapter, and urges each of you to not only participate fully in the governance of ALA, but to also bring ALA to life within your chapter by working with the ALA Chapter Relations Office regarding problems, concerns within your chapter to ensure a mutually advantageous relationship between your chapter and ALA. We are calling upon all chapter counselors to annually submit the newly established State of the Chapter Survey, which is found in Appendix B of the report. The task force believes that this information will not only help ALA in its efforts to better serve the chapters, but will also, when posted on the Chapter Relations Committee website, allow chapters to work together to address mutual problems and concerns. This report was presented to the Executive Board yesterday morning, and their suggestions to expand the definition of chapters as found in this report to include possible international groups and to consider the inclusion of the concern regarding overlapping vendor fundraising by ALA and the chapters will be addressed by the task force and the chapter relations committee. The recommendation addressed to the chapter relations committee will be presented at its meeting tomorrow, and the chapter council forum agenda includes the discussion of this report. As chair of the task force, I shall on Monday request that the chapter relations committee continually monitor the status of all of the recommendations. I am assured by Cynthia Sazak, incoming chapter committee chair, that this monitoring will take place. The task force wishes to thank President Stevens for the support she has given ALA chapters in establishing this task force to address our chapter concerns. As stated in the last paragraph of the report, the Chapter Relations Task Force urges that these recommendations be accepted and acted upon by all parties. The task force believes that if these steps are taken in conjunction with the excellent work already being accomplished by the ALA Chapter Relations Office, the relationships between ALA and its chapters will be greatly improved and provide for even better support of our libraries and the people who devote their lives to providing information to our library users. Thank you.
Thank you, Annell. Is there any discussion? Microphone number 6.
Karen Downing, Counselor at Large. I want to commend the task force. They've done a fabulous job here. And I also wanted to comment that I've been involved with the Young Librarians Working Group over the last 2 years. And the one recommendation about investigating additional joint membership options was something that we also found in that working group. It was very strongly supported.
Are there any questions for Annell? Annell, do you have a motion, or we will accept your report? We're going to accept the report in that case, since there's no further discussion or questions. And we thank you once again, and thanks to your committee, your task force, for all their hard work. I now direct you to ALA Council Document Number 44 and call upon Brett Bonfield, Chair of the Future Perfect Task Force, to present his report.
First of all, I want to thank President Roberta Stevens for giving us this opportunity to work together on the Future Perfect Report. She's been a wonderful mentor and guide throughout the process. I also want to thank Joanne Kemp for helping to facilitate our work. She's been wonderful to work with. So we were charged with making blue sky recommendations about governance. This is a companion piece to the Council Effectiveness Task Force. We were not charged with making anything that would be actionable or any resolutions. So we really concentrated on what we like to refer to as the what and the why, and decided to leave the how for all of you to discuss. So I want to introduce you to the members of the task force. It's on page 1 near the bottom, and just give you a little bit of biographical information about them. Kawana Bright is at the University of Texas at San Antonio, and is also the chair of the Library Instruction Roundtable. Margot Del Judas, who's actually over here, if you want to stand, Margot, is at Garden City High School in Long Island, also works at Freeport Public Library, and she is an adjunct professor at St. Joseph's University in Brooklyn. Candace Mack is from Los Angeles Public Library. She was in youth services up until a week or two ago. It's a good story. She is now an interim branch manager. She's also a Spectrum Scholar. And this group worked virtually. Candace was hoping to make it. Candace, are you in the room? Because we haven't yet met. She's not. That's too bad. Ross Singer is formerly an academic, formerly worked in academic libraries in Tennessee and in Georgia. He lives in Tennessee. He works for Talis, which is a UK-based ILS vendor. He was a mover and shaker. He does not have an MLS, so he technically is a paraprofessional in terms of ALA's membership. Rachel Van Noord lives in Seattle, works at Web Junction. She is an emerging leader, and she finished her MBA a couple of weeks ago, so she was working really, really hard on a number of things while we were doing our work and managed to contribute as much as anyone. And I am a director at Collingswood Public Library in Collingswood, New Jersey. It's a small single branch library. It's just outside of Philadelphia. I'm also a PhD student in library and information science at Rutgers and an adjunct professor at Drexel's iSchool. So the Council Effectiveness Task Force was one of the groups that we looked to as we were doing our work, and Jim Rettig was incredibly helpful to us in giving us ideas on how to do our work. We have a kindred task force in the Young Professionals Task Force. I was a member of that task force for the last couple of years and rolled off of it and did this task force instead. But our recommendations were very much inspired by their work, and also the Chapter Relations Task Force was very helpful in providing ideas for us. So the way we worked was virtual, as I mentioned. We had weekly phone meetings pretty much for the last 6 months. We started off, after deciding how we wanted to work together, by brainstorming, and we came up with dozens of ideas, and then we voted on them anonymously on a scale of, you know, 0 through 3, 3 being, you know, the most support that we would throw behind an idea, 0 being an idea we didn't want to support. And we winnowed that list down to 6 and then met over the phone and really compiled them into 6 that we all felt we could really support. And then we broke up into 2-member teams, and each of the 2-member teams were responsible for 2 recommendations each. And then we had full consensus on the final report well in advance of submitting it. We were, again, very aware that this was a think piece. Our audience really consisted of 2 entities, the executive board, which we presented to a couple of days ago, and to you. You are our audience. The outcome that we hoped for, again, just 2. We really hope to generate discussion, and we very much want to influence the next strategic plan. The name of the task force, Future Perfect, is a bit of a grammatical pun. The future perfect tense is will have, and so that's why you see the will have syntax throughout the document. So I want to just summarize briefly each of the 6 points so that there's plenty of time for discussion. If you look on the bottom of page 2, you can see the list of 6 recommendations, and I'll just cover them very briefly. The first deals with revising requirements and member options associated with conferences. That may seem somewhat odd to discuss in terms of governance, except that we realized that many of us were excluded essentially from governance just because we don't have the funding to devote 8 or 10 or more days to travel. And people who can't participate in conferences don't even necessarily get to see governance up close. And obviously, ALA is doing tremendous work in starting to make that no longer the case. We want to push that envelope in order to further governance out into the membership. Number 2, merging council and the executive board. The idea there, and what you'll note as you read through the actual recommendation itself, we don't deal at all with council's work. I mean, that was the Council Effectiveness Task Force. There's no critique of council or of any individual member, certainly. But there is a great deal of concern that indirect representation seems to contribute to low voter turnout. 18%, we feel, is a huge problem, as I'm sure all of you do. And we looked for something structurally that might help to contribute to changing that. So the idea, maybe you can think of it this way. Rather than disbanding council, we're expanding council to 60,000 members. Number three, committing to diversity. Again, for many of us, we feel that our division is where we get the most out of ALA, or maybe even multiple divisions. And certainly a great deal of power is concentrated in the divisions. And so our thought was to enable all of the fantastic work that's being done in diversity to have greater staff resources and greater funding, but to put how to do that. And again, we deal very much with what and why, but not with how. We do not define diversity very intentionally. We do not define diversity. Our intention is that it have the broadest definition that's acceptable to the membership. But that we put a great deal more, as I mentioned, funding and staff into diversity, and we feel that creating a division is the best way to do that. Integrating ALA with state chapters, again, we're sort of piggybacking on the report you just saw, but trying to take it the next step and really think of it from a membership perspective. For me as a member, for our fellow members, what would we really like? And what we would really like is for it to be seamlessly integrated. So we aren't dealing with what's likely or easy to implement. We're dealing with what would be really perfect in the future. In terms of increasing transparency, accessibility, and open communication, again, ALA is doing great work in this area. We wanted to push that envelope, and we wanted to talk about some ideas we had for making ALA feel even more transparent and accessible. And then, of course, increasing voting percentages and member engagement. That's what flowed throughout the entire document, but we wanted to discuss that in its own section. We feel like even thinking in terms of 50% voter turnout would be far too low. When people are paying to be members, we think we should have 100% voter turnout, and they should feel fully empowered and want to vote. So that is my summary. I hope that there is comment. If there's no comment, we haven't done our job very well.
If there's no comment on this report, I'm going to just fall right on over. Come on, there's surely got to be some comments here. You've been such a quiet audience today. Microphone number four.
Sue Cam, Councillor at Large. I have a problem with your proposal that ALA and the chapters merge and become one organization. The problem is not only with funding, but is also with the perceived independence of the chapter association. Excuse me. If ALA is going to be taking on fiscal responsibility for the work of the chapters, that's going to mean that ALA has to have some say in how the chapters do their work. And I don't think people are going to want to do that.
President Stevens, may I comment?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Brad?
Should I respond? Or?
I think it would be fine to respond if you have a response. You do not have to respond to everything, if you'd like to, please.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I didn't mention is I'm also treasurer for the New Jersey Library Association. So I understand the fiscal independence and the importance of fiscal independence for the state chapters. Our primary goal there is, again, to focus on, as a member of NJLA and as a member of ALA, how could my life be simpler? How can we make sure that advocacy is done in tandem? I think your point is extremely well taken. And again, that's very much an implementation step that we wouldn't even approach in 6 months or a year of working together. Thank you for that.
Microphone number three.
Jackie Rafferty, Massachusetts Chapter Councilor. I would like to commend this committee for the work that you did on this. I think the ideas are innovative and represent the type of thinking that every organization should engage in order to remain a vital, effective mechanism. Thank you for this.
Microphone number two.
Kathy A. Parsons, the Iowa Chapter Councilor Representative. I would like to point out that you did not mention any of the roundtables in the merge program, and there are some very strong roundtables, and I believe they should be considered to come to that table of the new merge thing. Also, I do express some concerns about state chapters merging with ILA or ALA, because ILA is a small organization. We do like to have some support, but our membership drives and our dues support our organization as well as our conferences. So I think you need to look at the fiscal responsibility quite carefully.
Microphone number six.
Karen Downing, Counselor at Large. I would also like to commend the task force. This is some really big, innovative thinking, and it really challenged me in a lot of ways. My comment has to do specifically with the diversity recommendation, and I would also like to really support the idea of increasing our support and really highlighting diversity and the importance throughout the organization. And my comment has to do with the proposal to make it a free division, and I think that we need to think carefully about how we would support a new division if we didn't have dues to have revenue for the division. And I think it's very appropriate to model it on the LLAMA model, that just because you have a division for diversity doesn't mean that it won't be done in other areas. But I do think that having it stand alone and not have revenue would be a problem.
Microphone number three.
Nan Blaine Hilliard, Counselor at Large. I do think this may has the potential of going down in ALA history as being a really, pick your metaphor, groundbreaking or out of the box or whatever we want to have. I do leap to think about the practical fiscal aspects. One of the very big things about our conferences is the trade show. And had you, I'm sure that trade shows are morphing just as other organizational things are morphing, but how are you going to integrate that into this concept?
Microphone number three.
Jessica Scalf, chapter counselor from Virginia. I just want to clarify that you're really asking us to favor the disbanding of council. Is that right? Could you clarify that a little more, what you mean by that?
We thought that would get your attention.
Yeah, so again, in terms of how this would be done, I would defer to the people on the left. In terms of what we're suggesting, and more importantly, why we're suggesting it, our goal is to figure out some way that we can have direct representation as much as possible. And again, I feel certain that everybody in this room is here because they want that exact same thing. And the best way we can do it right now, given the current structure, is by working within that current structure. What we're thinking about is what changes to our current structure could essentially force members to think frequently and about the business of ALA and create a structure for them to participate directly in the business of ALA. And so our hope would be that things like ballot initiatives would be more frequent and more discussed and get greater participation, that in this proposed slightly expanded executive board, that we would get a tremendous amount of interest in the election, and that we could even separate some elections, like the presidential election, so that we would get close to 100% participation. So that was the drive. In terms of how to go about doing it, that's far beyond the scope of this report, unfortunately.
Well, I just want to say that as a chapter counselor, I am voted to be here, and I represent my chapter's interests, I would hope. And I have to be frank that they depend on my reports to find out what's really going on, and I think we serve a very important purpose.
Microphone number four.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large. I'm very much a nuts and bolts person. I'm direct and practical. And from my standpoint, I'm almost 65 in August, and I've had 40 years of experience, not only in ALA, the Canadian Library Association, state chapters, provincial chapters, also NGOs of various stripes. And the fact of the matter is that if you look at the basics of how things operate in a very large organization, we're 66,000 members. In Athens, direct democracy worked because there were only 5,000-6,000 voting members and they could all assemble. However, the vast majority of our members have no interest in governance or in issues, ballot initiatives. What they want is practical help and encouragement on the job. They come for the programs when they come to conference. They contact us when they have a particular issue of interest to them or their small division within ALA. And I'm a counselor at large and an advocate for the disability community. And that has been very effective in terms of work. However, if you propose simply a smaller body and direct ballot initiatives, what you will get is even less input because people will not vote on things that are of no interest to them, and quite frequently the nuts and bolts of our organization are of zero interest to the vast majority of our members. Governance issues are of interest to a distinct minority, and you see many of them here in this room, or at the business meetings. I think I'm going to be able to get to one program that isn't a business meeting. And this is characteristic of council. The vast majority of our members don't even want to come out. We can't get a quorum at a membership meeting. So your proposal for direct democracy is an initiative, I'm afraid to say, in total chaos, and the centralization of decision-making without actual participation of memberships. I'm sorry.
Microphone number seven.
Michael Goldrick, Councillor at Large. And in the past, I've stood here both as a member of the Executive Board and as a chapter councillor. And I think that, especially in the role as an Executive Board member, hearing the wide, you might say, diversity of opinion that you get in a larger body has been really important in being able to make what I think are some of the important decisions for the organization. I think Elizabeth is right that there are huge portions of our membership who don't give a damn about the governance. They want us to do stuff. And so I think I still need to think more about this report because I don't want to reject it out of hand, but I do have concerns about the weight given to divisions. One of the reasons why this body has a representative from each of the chapters partly is to offset all of that divisional weight. And so I think that that's one of the concerns I have about how we're going to structure going forward. Yes, we should change some of the ways we do business. I absolutely agree with that. I think we need to do more virtual things. But on the other hand, you can't make people vote. And I think part of what I hear when I see that the voting percentage is as small as it is that our members are happy with the way things are because they're not out voting and trying to get change to happen. And so, you know, some people worry that we can't get a quorum at a membership meeting. In some respects, I look at that as a compliment to the leadership, the elected and paid leadership of this organization, because people aren't mad enough to come and yell. So, that's a perspective
that
I think we need to
keep in our hand. That wasn't true yesterday, Michael.
Well, there always will be some who will yell, Roberta. And there were some of us who voted with our feet at a certain point in the meeting as well. So thank you for listening. And I am going to think about this some more. I don't think any of us should reject it out of hand, but I think it's something we need to talk about how we can do things better. And I think there's some really valuable stuff in here. And thank you for your hard work.
Thank you. I'm still digging the arrows out from yesterday, though. Okay, microphone number two.
Barbara Jenko, Counselor at Large. First of all, I want to say thank you for this report. It is a blue sky report, definitely a blue sky report. I'm particularly impressed by Section 5, and I really want to thank you for that. I think it's very visionary, very important, and I think we really need to pay attention to that, especially issues on transparency. Some of us yesterday who were at membership meeting, our concerns were around transparency and the perception that maybe we were not listening as well as we should, even though it was inconvenient for many of us. But let me return to the report. I want to say that as a past division president, I do have some real concerns, governance concerns, around Section 2, merging council with the executive board. Specifically around the representatives of the ALA divisions, because we know that each of the divisions are of various size and various constituencies and represents significant number differences. So essentially we would be making everything like the Senate and very little like the House of Representatives. And I kind of view that as an interesting discrepancy in the issues of governance. It would also require significant adjustments in all of the way that each of the division's executive boards are constructed, because as a division president, I would pray that I would never have to be on an executive board and a division president at the same time. It would be a suicide pact to accept that. So I really want to suggest that there got to be some ways to balance a democratic with a republic sort of way, and try to find a way that we can be more responsive, because I feel that in many ways a lot of our members' first allegiance is to their division, and therefore I think that it is their division's responsibility to keep their division and the members in the big tent that is big ALA. And I'd rather come from the division to it rather than big ALA down to the division. Thanks very much for the report, though.
Microphone number six.
I'm Terry Kirk, and the Kentucky chapter counselor. I worry about, I think the report's really visionary and exciting to think about, but there's no fiduciary responsibilities there. We've taken about the dues from both the state and ALA. If we join, something's going to happen to dues, probably. We've taken conference away, and we've added a lot of free things. We can't do everything for free. Our Kentucky executive director is Tom Underwood, and he always says, we're a not-for-profit business. We're not a non-profit business. We have to make some money so we can stay in business.
Microphone number three.
John Mormon, IFRT counselor. Would like to say that when I first saw this report and downloaded it, I said, oh my gosh. I looked at it thoroughly, and I think we need to realize this is a thought piece and ought to be accepted as a thought piece. There are things in it that I think will be successful, some that will probably never come to fruition. But I would encourage us as counselors to look at this in the way it was intended. It was intended to get us to think, to look at how the association operates, and maybe make some changes to make it better for all of our membership. So I commend the committee for forcing us to think in ways that we may be uncomfortable in thinking. Thank you.
Microphone number three.
Barbara Miller, counselor at large, and I'm also a member of GoDART and a citizen of Oklahoma. And I want to commend you again on this report, and I realize it's a pie in the sky thing, and some ideas you're throwing out there to see, well, what would be the barriers? So I'm going to mention a barrier. If you combine state organizations with state chapters with ALA, you would have problems in several states, including mine, where ALA is still a observed as an underground subversive organization. And we have to tread a very fine line to say that we're the Oklahoma Library Association, and while we take a lot from ALA, we tend to downplay it with the legislature, and I'm sure that that's not the only state. So I just wanted to throw that out to you.
Microphone number 7.
Hello, Tracy Hall, Counselor at Large. As been mentioned before, I'm not going to talk too much about the tactical pieces here, because I think I do accept this and commend this piece as sort of a conceptual piece, as something really to think about. But I really want to commend the Future Perfect Task Force for collating two things that I think about quite often from my vantage point, is to really look at the relationship between diversity, and especially diversity in a higher levels of leadership in ALA, to the question of access and attendance at meetings. I think that there is a financial implication, an implication of what we know about library leadership at large in the profession, and the fact that, you know, when we look at social reproduction theory, that people who are inside the gate can ascend to leadership at a higher rate than those who are left behind or locked out. And so looking at those two things in this paper makes me very excited. I think that we have a lot to think about. And again, I want to say thank you.
Microphone number 2.
Barbara Stripling, Counselor at Large. I really love the out-of-the-box thinking. My one comment is on actually on the same goal, the committing to diversity. I think that needs to be a foundational element of all that we do. My concern is in the how. One of the things that we work on in ALA is to break down the silos, and we keep talking about divisions being silos. I know when I was on executive board, a lot of conversation was about how do we establish connections and break down the silos between divisions. I think a commitment to diversity needs to permeate our organization, and I'm worried about the how that you suggest, because I think it might set up a silo and actually be a detriment to what we really want to accomplish.
Microphone number 7.
Aaron Dobbs, Counselor at Large. Thank you very much for all kinds of fun ideas, some of which I haven't thought of, and I love that. I love that we're starting this now. We're going to address this stuff before our next strategic plan. We're in the 2015 cycle right now for our strategic plan. So we have 7 years before we have to implement the next plan. Is that correct? Did I do the math wrong? 4 years. Thank you. So we have 4 years to talk about this, and this is fabulous. Pie in the sky, with you. Welcome to 1876. ALA hasn't been created yet. We're talking about it. Pie in the sky. The world's wide open. We have a whole new communication paradigm. We don't have to ride the horse out to Boston. We can sit at home, hopefully clothed, and opine on creating a new association, a leveler playing field, more people involved. I'd really like to see this. So I'm looking forward to everyone's ideas. Thank you.
Aaron, I'm not going to even try to go where the hopefully cloth came from. Microphone number 3.
Christine Lindhag, PLA counselor, enjoying the conversation. I have a concern that when you go to direct vote on everything, that people, as Elizabeth says, some people aren't as committed to the organizational geekiness of it all, and that, in fact, you get less representation. If we look at issues that we've put before the membership on bylaws changes, my guess is that almost everything that's put in bylaws passes. The things that get questioned deal with money, dues. Then you're going to get more of a split vote. But most of the time when people get their ALA or divisional ballots and there's a bylaw change in there, they're just going to vote yes, because they're going to say, well, some committee thought it out and doesn't really bother me, and so, okay. And I would be concerned that issues that are torn apart on this floor might get that sort of automatic stamp unless it had financial implications to that individual person's wallet. And therefore, you really get less representation because those initiatives that are going to be put before the voting members are coming from a smaller group, an executive board or a merged body. And so I think that you give more power to fewer people, and there's a risk of really losing representation that we get in our conversations here and in forums.
Microphone number three.
Larry Romans, counselor at large. I agree about the direct voting, and I'd hate to see us become like California, where everything ends up being voted on by people who don't know what they're voting on. But I have two other concerns. One is that we have worked over the years to get roundtables involved and participate in decision making in big ALA. And this seems to me to be a big step backward, particularly given that some of the roundtables are larger than some of the divisions. The other thing is that it seemed to me that a 13-member executive board was plenty large enough, and the size was almost too large. The notion that there are going to be 24 members on this board suggests to me that there will actually be less diversity because the executive group of officers are going to end up having to do more of the work.
Microphone number six.
Mary Biblow, counselor at large. I think you've accomplished quite a bit here. I think your report was very stimulating. You've made the counselors get up and actually tell you exactly what they don't want to give up. But I think there is a lot to be looked at here. And to be thought about doesn't have to go into effect in the 1900s, but it doesn't have to go back that far. When we talk about democracy, and you talk about bringing the chapter councils in and having a more democratic or more united group, just think what you're asking them to give up. That's a real block of votes there, chapter councils. When we are electing anybody on to serve on committees and on the floor, or to be a president. So, you know, people are going to fight for what they already have. So some of your things are very exciting and challenging, but they're not too practical for us to be here to think about these things. We haven't come to the conclusion that we'll go back to, say, one man, one vote, or one woman, one vote. People are possessive of what they already have, and they're going to hold on to it, and they're going to fight till the dying day to keep it. So I don't know how you're going to change, and change doesn't come easy in this world. Thank you.
Microphone number three.
Jenny Emanuel, New Members Roundtable Counselor. I really want to applaud you, like many other people have, for your report. I'm not really sure about a lot of the specifics yet. I need some more time to digest it. But we always talk about how librarianship and how ALA and how libraries in general are changing. And we don't really talk too much about how exactly those changes are happening and what's going on and how it's going to change the structure of our career and our association. And so I have my big soapbox, and it's about we need to be more proactive as an organization and not reactive, and I think your report really gets us thinking about that before we have to be reactive. Thank you.
Microphone number four.
Sue Cam, counselor at large and proud resident of the state of California. when anyone talks about initiatives, I think about the people who turn up at shopping centers, grocery stores, et cetera, with a little clipboard in their hand, and they say, would you sign my petition, this petition to make the state bird the seagull, which it's not. But this is, I think initiative is, if this is what we're talking about from the initiative process, I think it's an idea that's had its day, because we, certainly in California, we elect members of the Assembly and the Senate, and they are being paid boku bucks to do a job. Now, we as ALA Council are not being paid boku bucks to be here by our constituents, so far, so forth. But I think that we need to have Council continue as it is, and not try to have too much attempts by members to govern by initiative rather than communicating with us and telling us what they really want.
Microphone number 4.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large. I do want to ask that as we go forward and look at the whole issue of diversity, that we not stop at the ethnic mix. Diversity is not just whether you're Hispanic or African American. Diversity includes individuals with disabilities. It includes diversity of income and education, access to electronic devices. So I stress that diversity has to be thought of in a very broad manner. I stipulate, for example, with the Spectrum Scholarship, we've been very successful in raising money to help librarians of different ethnicities go to library school. And the organization is to be much commended for that. On the other hand, we have One Little Century Scholarship, which I helped to found, which provides a scholarship for one individual with a disability to go to library school. So as we go forward, we have to be very careful in how we define diversity. Thank you.
Microphone number 3.
Hi, Lauren Presley, Councilor at Large. And I want to thank you for the report and all the work that you put into it. And one of the things that's sort of striking to me is a lot of maybe the frustration that I'm hearing is about the current membership not necessarily liking or participating, but I think that something that's really easy for us to not think about are all the people who are choosing not to be ALA members now and the librarians that are coming that might choose not to be members. And I think that the type of thinking in this report can make us a lot more relevant to those people. So thank you.
Microphone number 4.
Maggie Farrell, LACRL counselor. I'm most curious about next steps. What do we do with the recommendations? How do we follow up? How do we explore the specific recommendations in the near future?
I'm going to ask Keith to get up for a moment and speak to that on behalf of ALA and the Executive Board, because this did come before the Executive Board for discussion as well, and there are fiscal implications.
Since no one has arisen to propose a motion to dissolve council, I'll assume that, all right, we rushed out there. There's a lot of initiatives underway to look at the organization of the future. I think there are some valuable ideas here. Some echo other ideas that we're receiving from other quarters. I'm assuming that the board will take a look at this, will keep an eye on it, that council will keep an eye on it. At this point, it's really council's will.
We will be accepting the report here at council, and we will be looking at what is being discussed much further and be back in touch with council and with our members. So unless there are further questions or further discussion, we will thank Brett Bonfield and his team that worked so hard on this innovative report. And we will now take up new business. Would Councillor Rhonda Putney
Please go to the microphone and read only the resolve clause of ALA Council Document Number 48, Resolution on Out of School Time Library Programs. I did not see you. Microphone number 7.
June Pinnell Stevens, Councillor at Large. To pull the trigger a little fast there, I was still sort of scrambling to get up. Mm-hmm. I just had a question about the previous report. Where is that going to go? Is it just going to sort of sit there someplace, or is some organization, some group within ALA going to take ownership of that report and continue the work somehow, or bring other recommendations for implementation to the council?
We are going to bring it back to the executive board to look at it more closely, particularly in light of the fact that there are a number of items within the report that overlap with other reports. So we will explore it further, and we will be back in touch at the next council meeting with an update on where we are. There, again, also are fiscal implications, so we want to take a careful look at that.
Okay. Thank you.
You are most certainly welcome. Rhonda, are you prepared?
I am. Thank you. Rhonda Puntney, I'm the ALSC Division Counselor. And actually, the second resolve clause needs to be changed. Is it there? Okay, thank you very much. Resolve that the American Library Association, ALA, number one, encourages our members to tell their legislators, as well as local and national organizations and associations, about the value of their library to out-of-school library programs. And I'm going to read from here because I can't read my own writing. Urges library directors, trustees, school board, and supervising government bodies to ensure that libraries of all types dedicate the proper funding to ensure that comprehensive out-of-school library programs for all children and teens are maintained, and that the executive director of ALA sends this resolution to all library systems and state boards of education in the country.
Would you like to speak to the resolution?
Yes, I would. This resolution was a collaborative effort from the Youth Council Caucus, and we've been working on this for several months now. We consulted with the ALA Washington office, and some of their suggestions are included in the resolution.
Is there any discussion? Microphone number 3.
Larry Romans, Councillor at Large and Chair of the Resolutions Committee. We don't put in the body of the resolution anymore who the resolution is going to be sent to. And I'm also, it seems to me totally impractical for the executive director to try to send this resolution to all library systems and state boards of education. There must be 20,000 of them. I move that we remove the last clause of number 2, which is, and that the executive director of ALA sends this resolution to all library systems and state boards of education in the country.
Is there any discussion on the amendment to the motion? Yeah, do you have a second for your motion?
Do I have a second? Thank you.
There's a second. Is there any discussion?
Go ahead.
I'll speak.
On the amendment. Microphone number 6.
As the Nick Buron, YALSA counselor, as the seconder of the original resolution, the reason why that was put in the first place was to was the feedback that we got from many people who read it that said, please explain exactly where it's going to go to. We mentioned that concern. We said, let's put it in here, and if it does come up, which it has, there's no problem with taking that out at this point. And we'll leave it up to the executive director where he would like to send this.
Do we need to take a vote?
We've been
all those in favor of the amendment, let's just go ahead and take a vote and make it formal. All those in favor of the amendment to remove, I don't have the language right in front of me, it's come off the screen, but that directs where the
resolution will be sent. I say it that way. All those in favor, please raise one of your hands. All those opposed? The amendment carries. The motion for the amendment carries. We will return back to the amended resolution. Do we have further discussion? Thank you. Mark your ballot. What do we have up as the, what you're going to mark? We need to know what you're going to mark your ballot.
Amended.
CD number 48 amended.
No.
Amendment.
You're right. Amendment. Thank you. CD number 48 amendment. So we are returning to the amended motion, amended resolution. Do we have further discussion? Seeing we have some discussion. Microphone number 5.
I'm Terry Reinheimer, Indiana Chapter Counselor. Please forgive my ignorance, but what is the out-of-school programming? And I am also one of those people that you have never heard speak before. So now you've seen me. Here I am.
Okay. The out-of-school programming phrase, I guess, is a catchphrase for any school or any programming that occurs in libraries after school hours. So that can be summer programming. After school, during break time, that kind of thing, regardless of whether it's an actual program itself or even, you know, space for a program or something to occur at the library.
Is there microphone number 6?
Just to follow up on that, it's a phrase that's used often outside of libraries, the out-of-school time, and that's the language that's used by many after-school funders, and in using their language, the idea is to hope to get more libraries in general to be able to participate in after-school time funding as well.
Microphone number 4.
Elizabeth Riddler, Councillor at Large. Could I ask that we please see the resolved as they would be, because we've got a delete, we've got an add, so it's not clear what the actual wording is in the document.
We will pause while the amended resolution is prepared and up on the screen. Microphone number 7.
Yes, Rob Banks, Kansas Chapter Counselor. Just a point of clarification on that. In Kansas, the term after-school programs carries some legal implications that you must be. So I just wanted to make sure the out-of-school doesn't carry any of that kind of baggage with it. Okay, thank you.
We have the revised resolve clauses up on the screen. Is there any further discussion? Microphone number 5.
Mario Gonzalez, Councilor at Large. I guess going back to the phrase out of school, because it's also a new phrase for me in New Jersey, this only relates to public libraries, because there are many institution organizations that do programs for school-age children when schools are not in session. So, and I know that one of the seconders is from the Association of School Librarians, and I wanted to, I guess, hear more from school libraries on how they feel about this. We're asking school board members to support this. I would assume that school librarians and schools are in support of this, but I don't see that in the resolution.
Microphone. Number 4.
Joe Pinder, Councillor at Large, and I need a clarification. Do you feel that these programs are adequately funded now? Because the way it reads, we want to maintain, not maintain and encourage additional funding.
Microphone number three.
Nan Blaine Hilliard, Counselor at Large. I think the concept is great, and the idea is good, and we do this kind of thing at our library as well. However, I think that it's rather a wishy-washy resolve clause just to encourage our members to tell their legislators, and I'm wondering how we would, boy, unanimous Blaine Hilliard, that's interesting. well, we're like running out of time. But anyway, some idea of how we would do the encouraging, and if you have any way of measuring whether that's going to be successful or not. Plus, I was told that it should be school board members. I think most school boards have more than one person on them. Thank you.
Microphone number three.
Sylvia Norton, ASL division counselor. Speaking to the school issue, we do support this. This is written in, maybe it's more clear in the whereas section that school libraries are involved. I think our concern is that there are a number of programs or funding comes into school for out-of-school programs. I realize out-of-school programs sounds weird. That's where you bring in that after-school feeling. Where the school libraries actually gets used, but they somehow don't seem to acknowledge that, so they particularly don't include school library staffing for a lot of the program. And so this is something that the AASL does support.
Microphone number two.
Lisa Vondrasic, counselor at large, school librarian. I urge everyone to support this.
Microphone number four.
Dennis LaLoupe, counselor at large. I just want to say I support this resolution also. As a school librarian for 34 years, I encourage any public and school library cooperation that I can see. And also, over the years, I've always been a big proponent of recreational reading and encouraging and motivating children to read. And over the years, unfortunately, I have seen less emphasis on recreational reading in schools, and that really, really bothers me a lot. And I think this helps promote the recreational reading aspect and encourages children to read more after school. So I heartily applaud this. Thank you.
Okay, we are rapidly running out of time. Microphone number two.
Barbara Jenko, counselor at large. This is just to clarify the term of practice, out of school time. My sister, who is the executive director of the New Jersey School Age Child Care Coalition, has advised me when I referred this to her that that is the term of practice, and it would be immediately understandable to anybody who works in education, school age child care, or child care.
Microphone number six.
Steve Matthews, member of the executive board. I'm not a member of the council grammar caucus, but I'm thinking it might be ensure, E-N, rather than I-N, and this really is by way of Trevor Dahls, who we just commiserated about that, and I think it probably should be ensure.
The executive director will take care of adding the S to members and changing the I to an E. Is there any further discussion, or are we ready to go to a vote? It appears we are. All those in favor of Council Document Number 48's resolution as revised, please raise one of your hands. All of those opposed, please raise one of your hands. The motion carries. Mark your ballot, CD Number 48 as amended. I now call upon Keith Michael Fields, ALA Executive Director and Secretary to the ALA Council for announcements. But before you do so, I want to make a quick one myself. I want to ask Maggie Farrell and June Pennell Stevens at the conclusion of the meeting if you would take a few moments and come forward. Keith?
Thank you. I know most of you were here earlier, but for those of you that weren't, attendance currently stands at 19,826, which includes 11,273 advanced registrants and 3,388 on-site registrants, for a grand total of 14,600 and an additional 5,165 vendors. I do have one other announcement, actually two. Councillors who have not yet picked up their document portfolios, please do so. They are available at the council documents pickup station, which I believe is in the back. Right, thank you. Okay. And they should be used to collect and retain all council documents distributed throughout the course of the meeting. Once a document has been distributed, it will not be recopied or redistributed in bulk if it's moved to a subsequent agenda. And there will only be a limited number of duplicate documents, so please do hang on to those in your Trapper Keepers. Our goal, obviously, is to function more effectively while consuming less trees. I'm just ad-libbing from this script here, as you can tell. And though this room is secure, there are other meetings being held, so please do not leave computers, valuables, anything else at your place or inside your portfolio. And you can leave your portfolio in place here until the end of the Council 3 meeting. However, at the end of that meeting, we're going to ask you to put it back in the storage bins.
Please be sure you have signed your vote tally card and pass it to the aisles for collection. And cards without names will be voided. And I also want to invite you to my president's program at 3:30 today with Sue Gardner of the Wikimedia Foundation. Thank you. Council 1 is adjourned. We have an announcement. Did not see you. Microphone number 7.
Rodney Lippard, a North Carolina chapter counselor and forum co-convener. Just to remind you all that council forum will take place tonight at 8:30 at the Hilton Riverside, Marble Room A and B.
Microphone 3.
Ismail Abdullahi, Councillor Latraj, the Diversity Councillors Caucus will meet immediately after this session near the Council Secretariat.
Okay, if there are no further announcements, we are adjourned. Is there another announcement?
We'll take one more. Nick Buron, Councillor, YALSA Councillor. Just want to remind those in the Youth Council Caucus, meeting is tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's Bring Your Own Coffee, and it is at the Embassy Suites. And the room, it's at the Embassy Suites. If you can make it that far, I'll give you the room number in a second if you want to come over. Thank you.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned.